Today is the 30th day of June, which makes it the last day of the month of June, which means that as we take our next step forward together today, we are reaching the halfway point. I can hardly believe that's true, but here we are again in the dead center of the year. And so it is great to be here with you in the middle and grateful for every day that we've been able to gather together and take another step forward. And so we end months and we begin months and we end months and we begin months and they all add up to a year, and we do that by keeping going day by day, step by step. And so let's finish this month well so that tomorrow we can begin a new month anew. So we will go back to where we left off, and that leads us at this point back into the book of 2 Kings. And today we will read 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 through 18, verse 12 today. In the 12th year of King Ahaz's reign over Judah, Hoshea, son of Elah, became king over Israel. He reigned in Samaria for 9 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not to the same degree as the Israelite kings who preceded him. King Shalmaneser of Assyria marched up to attack him, so Hoshea became his subject and paid him tribute. The king of Assyria discovered that Hoshea was planning a revolt. Hoshea had sent messengers to King Saul of Egypt and had not sent his annual tribute to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria arrested him and imprisoned him. The king of Assyria marched through the whole land. He attacked Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea's reign, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and deported the people of Israel to Assyria. He settled them in Halah, along the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. This happened because the Israelites sinned against the Lord their God, who brought them up from the land of Egypt and freed them from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They worshipped other gods. They observed the practices of the nations whom the Lord had driven out from before them and followed the example of the kings of Israel. The Israelites said things about the Lord their God that were not right. They built high places in all their towns, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up sacred pillars and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every green tree. They burned incense on all the high places, just like the nations whom the Lord had driven away before them did. Their evil practices made the Lord angry. They worshipped the disgusting idols in blatant disregard of the Lord's command. The Lord solemnly warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and all the seers, "Turn back from your evil ways. Obey my commandments and rules that are recorded in the law. I ordered your ancestors to keep this law and sent my servants, the prophets, to remind you of its demands. But they did not pay attention and were as stubborn as their ancestors who had not trusted the Lord their God. They rejected his rules, the covenant he had made with their ancestors, and the laws he had commanded them to obey. They paid allegiance to worthless idols and so became worthless to the Lord. They copied the practices of the surrounding nations in blatant disregard of the Lord's command. They abandoned all the commandments of the Lord their God. They made 2 metal calves and an Asherah pole, bowed down to all the stars in the sky, and worshipped Baal. They passed their sons and daughters through the fire and practiced divination and omen reading. They committed themselves to doing evil in the sight of the Lord and made him angry. So the Lord was furious with Israel and rejected them. Only the tribe of Judah was left. Judah also failed to keep the commandments of the Lord their God. They followed Israel's example. So the Lord rejected all of Israel's descendants. He humiliated them and handed them over to robbers until he had thrown them from his presence. He tore Israel away from David's dynasty, and Jeroboam, son of Nebat, became their king. Jeroboam drove Israel away from the Lord and encouraged them to commit a serious sin. The Israelites followed in the sinful ways of Jeroboam and did not repudiate them. Finally, the Lord rejected Israel just as he had warned he would do through all his servants, the prophets. Israel was deported from its land to Assyria and remains there to this very day. The king of Assyria brought foreigners from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim, and settled them in the cities of Samaria in place of the Israelites. They took possession of Samaria and lived in its cities. When they first moved in, they did not worship the Lord. So the Lord sent lions among them, and the lions were killing them. The king of Assyria was told, "The nations whom you deported and settled in the cities of Samaria do not know the requirements of the God of the land." So he has sent lions among them. They are killing the people because they do not know the requirements of the God of the land. So the king of Assyria ordered, "Take back one of the priests whom you deported from there. He must settle there and teach them the requirements of the God of the land." So one of the priests whom they had deported from Samaria went back and settled in Bethel. He taught them how to worship the Lord. But each of these nations made its own gods and put them in the shrines on the high places that the people of Samaria had made. Each nation did this in the cities where they lived. The people from Babylon made Sukkot, Benoth. The people from Cuth made Nergal. The people from Hamath made Ashima. The Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burned their sons in the fire as an offering to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. At the same time, they worshipped the Lord. They appointed some of their own people to serve as priests in the shrines on the high places. They were worshipping the Lord and at the same time serving their own gods in accordance with the practices of the nations from which they had been deported. To this very day, they observe their earlier practices. They do not worship the Lord. They do not obey the rules, regulations, law, and commandments that the Lord gave the descendants of Jacob, whom he renamed Israel. The Lord made a covenant with them and instructed them, "You must not worship other gods. Do not bow down to them, serve them, or offer sacrifices to them. Instead, you must worship the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt by his great power and military ability. Bow down to him and offer sacrifices to him. You must carefully obey at all times the rules, regulations, law, and commandments he wrote down for you. You must not worship other gods. You must never forget the covenant I made with you, and you must not worship other gods. Instead, you must worship the Lord your God. Then he will rescue you from the power of all your enemies." But they paid no attention. Instead, they observed their earlier practices. These nations were worshiping the Lord and at the same time serving their idols. Their sons and grandsons are doing just as their fathers have done to this very day. In the third year of the reign of Israel's king Hoshea, son of Elah, Ahaz's son Hezekiah became king over Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what the Lord approved, just as his ancestor David had done. He eliminated the high places, smashed the sacred pillars to bits, and cut down the Asherah pole. He also demolished the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been offering incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. In this regard, there was none like him among the kings of Judah, either before or after. He was loyal to the Lord and did not abandon him. He obeyed the commandments that the Lord had given to Moses. The Lord was with him. He succeeded in all his endeavors. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and refused to submit to him. He defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory, from watchtower to fortified city. In the fourth year of King Hezekiah's reign, it was the seventh year of the reign of Israel's King Hoshea, son of Elah, King Shalmaneser of Assyria marched up against Samaria and besieged it. After 3 years, he captured it, in the sixth year of Hezekiah's reign. In the ninth year of King Hoshea's reign over Israel, Samaria was captured. The king of Assyria deported the people of Israel to Assyria. He settled them in Halah, along the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. This happened because they did not obey the Lord their God and broke his covenant with them. They did not pay attention to and obey all that Moses, the Lord's servant, had commanded. Acts 20. After the disturbance had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them and saying farewell, he left to go to Macedonia. After he had gone through those regions and spoken many words of encouragement to the believers there, he came to Greece, where he stayed for 3 months. Because the Jews had made a plot against him as he was intending to sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Paul was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, and Timothy, as well as Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These had gone on ahead and were waiting for us in Troas. We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and within 5 days we came to the others in Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, Paul began to speak to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he extended his message until midnight. Now there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. A young man named Eutychus, who was sitting in the window, was sinking into a deep sleep while Paul continued to speak for a long time. Fast asleep, he fell down from the third story and was picked up dead. But Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him and said, "Do not be distressed, for he is still alive." Then Paul went back upstairs, and after he had broken bread and eaten, he talked with them a long time, until dawn. Then he left. They took the boy home alive and were greatly comforted. We went on ahead to the ship and put out to sea for Assos, intending to take Paul aboard there, for he had arranged it this way. He himself was intending to go there by land. When he met us in Assos, we took him aboard and went to Mytilene. We set sail from there, and on the following day we arrived off Chios. The next day we approached Samos, and the day after that we arrived at Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so as not to spend time in the province of Asia, for he was hurrying to arrive in Jerusalem if possible by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, he sent a message to Ephesus telling the elders of the church to come to him. When they arrived, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I set foot in the province of Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, and with the trials that happened to me because of the plots of the Jews. You know that I did not hold back from proclaiming to you anything that would be helpful, and from teaching you publicly and from house to house, testifying to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem without knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit warns me in town after town that imprisonment and persecutions are waiting for me. But I do not consider my life worth anything to myself, so that I may finish my task and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the good news of God's grace. And now I know that none of you, among whom I went around proclaiming the kingdom, will see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of you all, for I did not hold back from announcing to you the whole purpose of God. Watch out for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own Son. I know that after I am gone, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Even from among your own group, men will arise, teaching perversions of the truth to draw the disciples away after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that night and day for 3 years I did not stop warning each one of you with tears. And now I entrust you to God and to the message of his grace. This message is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have desired no one's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine provided for my needs and the needs of those who were with me. By all these things I have shown you that by working in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had said these things, he knelt down with them all and prayed. They all began to weep loudly and hugged Paul and kissed him, especially saddened by what he had said, that they were not going to see him again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the sky. Praise him in the heavens. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly assembly. Praise him, O sun and moon. Praise him, all you shiny stars. Praise him, O highest heaven, and you waters above the sky. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he gave the command and they came into existence. He established them so they would endure. He issued a decree that will not be revoked. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea creatures and all you ocean depths. O fire and hail, snow and clouds, O stormy wind that carries out his orders, you mountains and all you hills, you fruit trees and all you cedars, you animals and all you cattle, you creeping things and birds, you kings of the earth and all you nations, you princes and all you leaders on the earth, you young men and young women, you elderly, along with you children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty extends over the earth and sky. He has made his people victorious and given all his loyal followers reason to praise. The Israelites, the people who are close to him, praise the Lord. Proverbs 18, 6 and 7. The lips of a fool enter into strife, and his mouth invites a flogging. The mouth of a fool is his ruin, and his lips are a snare for his life. Okay, so as we end this 30th day of the 6th month of the year and find ourselves basically at halftime, here we are in the middle of it all, the Bible brings us to a point of melancholy. It's a somber reading in both the Old and the New Testaments today. And as we go forward from here into the second half of the year, starting tomorrow, we're kind of changing again the complexion. In the Old Testament, true to true to the Bible's kind of understated way, when these massive, massive things happen, we were told of the Assyrian invasion of Samaria, the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, let's remember, without going back through exhaustive review, let's remember that after Solomon's reign, the nation, the kingdom of Israel, split into two. And so we've been moving along with the northern and the southern kingdoms. So the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And the northern kingdom's capital city was the city of Samaria. The Assyrians attacked the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of the north. And in today's reading, they besieged Samaria for 3 years, and Samaria fell. What that means is that 10 of the tribes of Israel were defeated and conquered. And according to the scriptures, the people were deported. They were carried away into exile by the Assyrian Empire. And we've talked about some of the strategies of empire building at this time, and we see it in plain display today in our reading. The peoples that were conquered in the northern tribes of Israel were deported to a different land. They were carried away to a different part of the Assyrian Empire, another part of the empire that had been conquered. They were resettled in a new land. Meanwhile, other conquered peoples were moved into the land of Samaria. These new peoples who had been settled in a new land, who were also facing exile, they didn't want to be there any more than the Israelites wanted to be in a different land. They were being mixed into the empire. Conquered peoples were relocated to other parts of the empire. This is empire building, because over the generations, as the empire brings prosperity to all the people, people start to forget about their history or their homeland and start thinking, hey, things are pretty good here. Like, this is a good life. We have a good life. And then you start to forget where you came from. And so you become a product of the empire. That's what you know. That's the only thing you know. That's how that you were born into it. This is what you know. And so over time, conquered peoples over the generations become assimilated and don't know anything different. That's not a good plan, though, for the children of Israel, because God had a different plan, and that was to reveal himself through this people. But rather than revealing God to the nations, they did everything that they could to assimilate themselves into being like the other nations, including worshiping the gods of the other nations, not revealing the one true God to all the nations. And they eroded. And we watched this. We've read all this. Like, we got here somehow. We started in Genesis and went through the whole story that led us here. The back and forth of idolatry. The back and forth of looking around for something to give us life and then offering our hearts in worship to that thing. So we end the first half of our year in a very, very different place than how we started it. We've followed this story all the way to the formation of the children of Israel. And now we step through a threshold tomorrow into the second half of the year, and 10 of the tribes of Israel are missing. And here's the thing. They never materialize again. What we read today was the end of a chapter or an era. The 10 tribes of Israel were assimilated and disappeared, never to be cohesive tribes again until today. And so as we step forward, Israel is gone. The kingdom of Israel is gone. And all that remains is the smaller kingdom of Judah in the south, but it does contain the holy city of Jerusalem. And so as we go forward now in Kings, we don't have kings of Israel to learn about anymore. we've reached the end of that story. There are no more kings of Israel. We'll continue our story forward with the kings of Judah and find out what happens to them. We also have a somber scene in the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul is on his third missionary journey. The Holy Spirit has instructed Paul to return to Jerusalem. And Paul has a pretty strong sense of what that will mean, and that imprisonment and persecution are probably in front of him as he makes his way back to this holy city. After the same fashion of Jesus, who knew he was going to Jerusalem and knew how he would be received there. And so we are watching Paul's final days of what he believes to be his freedom. And so as he's passing by, he sends messengers to get the elders from the church at Ephesus to come basically meet him by the ship. He can't take the time to stay in Ephesus because he's trying to get to Jerusalem by Pentecost. But he has a very weighty meeting with the leaders of Ephesus because this is the last meeting that they will ever have. And he makes a declaration like, I have withheld nothing from you. I've given you the gospel. I did everything that I could to share Jesus with you. I am clean. And we've seen that pattern before. We saw Moses doing that when he's standing before the children of Israel saying, like, I have led you. I have been faithful to you. I haven't stolen anything from you. Like, if there's something against me, say it now so that everything can be made right. We saw Samuel do the same kind of thing. So we're seeing Paul do something similar, which is to say, if you have anything against me, then speak it to me now. And I'm letting you know I don't have anything against you. And I've done what I came to do. I've given everything that I had, that God gave me to give you. I've given to you. But in this life, we will never see each other again. If anything needs to be addressed, let's do that. And so we're left with a bit of a melancholy scene of people who love each other very, very much, who are very, very much following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and the roads are going in different directions. And so they will never see each other again. And that is how we land at the halfway point of our journey through the scriptures this year. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us here halfway through the year. It's hard to believe that it's been that long since New Year's Day, but here we are, and that's just the nature of our experience of time. Sometimes it feels like it's taking 100 years to go 5 minutes, and sometimes it feels like a year goes by in a breath. But we are marking the time. We are marking the fact that we have come halfway through our journey together. And so at this halfway point, we lift our hands in worship. We throw open the doors of our hearts and say, come, Holy Spirit. Nothing is off limits to you. Lead us in the second half of the year to everything that we need for the journey that we are on. And may we become more and more aware, not only of your presence, but of your activity, and that we are a part of your story and you are not a part of ours. You have invited us into the dance of life and the journey that we get to experience together, not the other way around. And so we love you, we humble ourselves before you, and we ask that you lead us into all truth as we prepare for the second half of the year. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base. That is where you can find out what's going on around here. And there is something going on around here 1 week from today. And we've been talking about it all week. 1 week from today is the 7th day of July. So today's the last day of June. We've done it. 6 months. Congratulations. Well done. 1 week from today, the 7th day of July, is our daily audio Bible global campfire holiday that we call the Long Walk. And that is, it's like so simple. It's so simple. Like, we may have to jump through hoops to make it happen, but it's so simple. Think of somewhere beautiful. Wherever you may be, whatever continent you may be on right now, wherever you may live, think of somewhere beautiful. Or think of somewhere meaningful. And then narrow it down to somewhere that you can get to. Like, think of somewhere that you can go, whether that's a park down the street or a park an hour away or a trail or whatever. Somewhere that you think is beautiful. Think of it and then go there. Go there next Friday on the day of the Long Walk. Go there and go for a long stroll, a long walk, like the kind of walk that you take when you fall in love. That kind of walk, the one that's sort of like you're not trying to get somewhere by a certain time. You're not trying to accomplish the trail. Like, you can walk as fast as you want or as slow as you want. It doesn't really matter. You can stop and maybe you see a flower, and you see flowers all the time, but have you ever stopped to really, really, really admire a flower that is here today and gone tomorrow? Have you ever admired the craftsmanship of a flower, only to understand that you are exponentially more loved, more mysterious, more beautiful? I mean, there's endless opportunities. Sit down and get still and get rooted in your body and close off all the senses except for your ears for 10 minutes and listen to the worship of the earth. And join in that song. Go for a long walk and say everything that is in your heart, everything that needs to get said. Empty yourself of all of it. And allow Jesus to come and fill that space. That is worth it. A regroup at the center of the year. A regroup for the second half as we drink in the beauty of God's creation, all the table that he has set for us every day that we just don't even pay attention to. Let's pay attention next week. That's the Long Walk. And so that's a very individual experience that becomes a community experience when we come back in from our day. Maybe we took a picture. Maybe we should take a picture. Maybe we don't want to forget the day ourselves. Or maybe we take a video or something like that. Come back to the Daily Audio Bible Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Daily Audio Bible. And we will have a post there for the Long Walk. And you can post your videos and pictures and stories as responses to that post. And then all of a sudden, we open a window into our lives just for that brief moment. All of a sudden, we see that we're in this together all over the world. We get to enjoy the day from all over the world. And so make plans for that 1 week from today. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone, anywhere, anytime, and to build community around showing up for each other, what we lovingly call the global campfire, if that is life-giving to you, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Where the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello. I'm calling in for a prayer request. And I'm just calling because I'm in such a place where I'm 26 years old. I moved to another state to pursue a dream career. And I've been out here for about 3 years now. And there's been many ups and some downs as well. And at the moment, I'm just feeling very panicked because my finances have turned into chaos. And I have always been a very financially responsible person growing up. I think I started working as a babysitter when I was like 12 years old. And so I just have always, I think I connect my, you know, that's kind of something that I wore with a badge of honor. Like, I'm good with finances, and to be in this place is very upsetting. It makes me feel very insecure. I feel like I'm having like fits of like, what is my plan? What do I do? What's the next step? I also had a job that I was kind of offered like more of a like long-term paid position that then was retracted. So I'm just in a place of like needing to figure out what's next. And I say I need to figure it out. And I know that really what I need to do is give it to God. And I'm also in a relationship with someone who's like very healthy for me, which is a blessing. But I feel like I've made several attempts to like destroy this relationship, almost in a way to like self-isolate. Because I just feel so bad on the inside that I don't want anyone around to witness the crash and burn that I feel like is coming.
This is a response for Searching for Beauty. You left a message on the 19th. It was heard on the 24th. I just want to encourage you. You had referenced that you were going into an appointment regarding cancer. You referenced that you had some family who had the same thing, who have passed from the cancer. And I just want to encourage you that the reading actually on the 24th happened to be referencing someone who kind of scoffed at Elisha for a prophecy he had said would take place in the next 24 to 48 hours. It was a miracle that was going to take place. And based on that person's expectation, he just didn't believe it. And I want to encourage you, don't let your expectations be based on your experience. It is so hard. I've actually dealt with the same thing with my daughter. She doesn't have cancer, but she's in a wheelchair. And she's had extreme anxiety. And each time, it's just very difficult for me sometimes not to just feel a little bit hopeless in terms of what God's going to do for her. And so just know that your expectation can be of the Lord. He wants to heal you. And so, Lord Jesus, I just lift up Searching for Beauty. Lord God, I pray, God, that you would heal her and that you would help her keep her expectations on you and her eyes focused on your eyes and your face. And we thank you for what you're going to do in her life in the name of Jesus.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Bethsaida. I'm here thinking about you all, listening to the DAB, trying to get caught up. And I realized that before I was saved, everyone on the outside always has this facade up, this wall. They pretend that everything is fine with them. And the beauty of being a Christian and having this community that Brian and his family have built, I've realized that the gift that we found through being saved is being vulnerable. I didn't know that people could be so humbled and ask for prayer and people call in and pray for one another. This community is just full of love and hurt and joy and rejoicing for each other. It's my gift. I love you guys. I love the Lord. I hope that we can all always remember that it's always going to be good on the other side. I love you guys. Everyone, please, as scared as we get throughout life, God loves us. Jesus loves us. And we need to always remember that He will always be here for us. I love you guys. I pray for healing, for love, for joy.
Sometimes I stop and reflect on the insanity of my past and how far you brought me over a chasm so vast. And my soul cries out hallelujah, cause the die has been cast. And just like Martin Luther King Jr. used to say, thank God Almighty I'm free at last. But to whom much is given, much will be asked. So I know there's a responsibility that comes with my past. Many who were first now find themselves last. So strengthen me, Father, to be up to the task. I know I have a story that's supposed to get told about how you've given me so many victories over so many dangers untold, how you shielded me from a young age and allowed me now to get old. Strengthen me, Father, make my speech bold, because all that I have is due only to thee. The air that I now breathe and everything around me that I see, life in the future eternally with thee, and life right now, life more abundantly. Thank you, Father, for all that you do, for giving me this chance to live life anew. Please keep my thoughts faithful, humble, and true, and I pray that all of my thoughts be acceptable unto you. BlindTony1016@gmail.com. I'd like to give a shout out to Bayola and Byron and Delta Alpha Foxtrot. Know all three of you are very much loved and regularly in my prayers. And once again, Brian and the Hart family, thank you for this wonderful podcast for God's Holy Spirit to flow. Keep it flowing, y'all. All right, bye-bye.
This is Kathy from Kentucky. I'm calling to ask for prayer for my friend Larry. Larry is in recovery. He's not drinking or drugging, but he can't earn enough money to pay for an apartment and food. He painted my whole place. And he cleaned the carpet in my place. He did several repairs, and my home looks like a new place. But he just can't get enough money together for a home. So just pray for my friend Larry. And he was an angel, and he came and took over all the stuff that needed to be done. And I paid him, and I paid him well. But it's just rent is so high anymore. No wonder so many people are homeless. So just pray for my friend Larry. This is Kathy from Kentucky. Thank you.